Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we're going back to the second epistle of John, and we are going to, I think, wrap up our consideration of the introductory verses today so that we can move into the body of the epistle on the broadcast tomorrow. But you may recall that the opening verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, often called the salutation, involve the usual identification of the author, identification of the recipients, and a benediction pronounced upon the recipients. A very common formula. You'll find it in a lot of the epistles, though not all of them, but a lot of the epistles in the New Testament, and it's found in this one. And it reads, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." We see the elder, who turns out to be, very clearly, the Apostle John. And that's interesting, the way he identifies himself, but we don't have time to go back to that. We see the recipients of the epistle, the elect lady and her children. And again, there's a lot of interesting exploration to be done in that way of identifying a particular local church and its members, but we've already explored that, and we don't go back to that again. But we do return to the benediction and have a few more things to say about that. And so we'll do that on this Monday, April 22. We're thankful that you were able to join us for this Bible study, and we're grateful for those whose financial gifts make it possible. The benediction. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. We have already noticed a number of things about this benediction, and I'll just simply review them quickly. We have noticed the certainty of it, and I just touch upon that again. I've spent quite a bit of time on it, but this is the only benediction that is worded this way. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. Not be with you is a matter of desire, a wish, a prayer, which is the normal construction. But here it is a certain promise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. Not may be. Not I pray that it shall be, not that I hope it will be, but it will be. It's certain. It is pronounced upon the recipients of this epistle, all those who embrace the truth that John has talked about in verses 1 and 2. It is a certain blessing. The recipients, of course, are those who have embraced the truth, and the reason why this is so certain is because it comes from God. From God the Father and from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Anything that God promises, He performs. His promises are always certain. Ours should be as well, though we are not infallible. And sometimes, with the best of intentions, we promise things that we we intend to carry out, but we are unable because of, well, because of all kinds of things. Circumstances can intervene. Our life could be cut off. Our health could fail. Our financial resources might suddenly be destroyed, and all kinds of reasons why a promise that we make with the best of intentions might not be carried out. But those sorts of things never happen with Almighty God. When God promises something, you can take it to the bank. When God promises something, it is as certain as if it were already done. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you if you are one who embraces the truth of the gospel, and therefore you are a child of the living God. But we have not talked about the character of divine blessing. We have talked what? About the certainty of divine blessing, it will be with you. The nature of divine blessing, grace, mercy, and peace, each of those words are filled with wonderful meaning. The recipients of divine blessing, with you, those of you who embrace the truth. The source of divine blessing, it comes from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. But what is the character of divine blessing? And that's the last three words, or maybe four words, of this benediction. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In truth and love. What is that telling us? Well, that is telling us that this blessing, this benediction, is one that corresponds to truth, and it is a blessing that emanates from love. And they are blessings that flourish in an environment where truth and love prevail. Now let's go back and take those one by one and look at them. This divine blessing, this wonderful benediction, comes to us in truth and love. So it is always a blessing that corresponds to truth. Sometimes we want benefits from God that don't correspond to truth, that do not correspond to the truth of His Word, but we want them anyway, insist upon them sometimes. There are all kinds of examples that could illustrate this, but for example, someone is determined that they are going to rid themselves of their present marriage partner and are going to have someone else in their place. And this is what they want. They want it desperately. They want it very much. And I've had people actually tell me that they have prayed about it, and they are confident that God wants them to do this. God approves of my divorcing my wife and marrying this other woman. Now, there's no biblical grounds for divorce. Your wife has not been unfaithful. Obviously, the marriage is not a rosy honeymoon at the moment, or you probably wouldn't be considering this, but there's no biblical grounds for you to leave your wife. If things are not as you wish them to be, then you have the wonderful privilege and responsibility of going to work on your marriage, loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. There are a lot of things that you can do to make your marriage what it ought to be, but divorcing your wife and going off with someone else, marrying somebody else, is not one of them. Why? Because it doesn't correspond to truth. That's not a blessing that you can claim. And that is not a course of action that you can claim that God's sanction is upon. God, I prayed about it, and God gave me peace about it. Well, dear friend, whatever peace you feel as a result of your prayer didn't come from God, because it is contrary to the truth that He has given. God doesn't act contrary to His Word. God doesn't act contrary to truth. And His Word is truth, and His Word contains the truth that guides us. You see what I'm talking about? And so the character of divine blessing is that it is in truth. It corresponds to truth always. No divine blessing will ever come to us that is contrary to truth. That is the truth that God reveals in His Word. So it's blessing that corresponds to truth, and it is blessing that emanates from love. This grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And why does God bestow such wonderful blessings, grace, mercy, and peace upon His children? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. It emanates from His love. Not necessarily because we are deserving of them. I shouldn't even use that word necessarily. Not because we are deserving of them. For truly, we are not. But God is a God of love. He loves to give. He loves to bestow blessings. He loves to pour out good things for His children. If you earthly fathers know how to give good things unto your children, said Jesus, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things unto His children? That's the nature of God. He does it because He loves us. And so these blessings emanate from love. And these blessings flourish in an environment where truth and love prevail. And here's where I think it might be appropriate to say that the size of the blessings do at some point and at some times correspond to our response to truth and our reflection of love back to the Father. I can't pick a formula out of the Bible and tell you exactly how that works and in what way. I do know that grace is unmerited favor. I'm not entitled to it. I know that mercy is something that God does out of the kindness and pity of His own heart. I know that peace is something that has been secured for us by the cross of Christ and has nothing to do with what I merit. But where people embrace the truth and are responding to the love of God, the blessings of God seem to flow in even greater measure. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Where you are in the truth and where you are in the love of the Father, which you surely are if you are God's child, and where you are responding to the truth and where you are responding to His love, then these blessings continue to flow in ever greater measure. Well, there are a lot of things that we could learn out of this text. I could say quickly that any theology that sets the Father in opposition to the Son is faulty theology, because here they're placed together. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament, the God of anger and wrath, who is the one true living God that is revealed to us in Scripture, is also God the Son of love and mercy, and indeed the Father of love and mercy. You can't separate those two. This is the God who is revealed to us in Scripture. Don't mangle the revelation of God. Don't focus upon one aspect of His character to the neglect of others. But what we further learn in this text is that sound theology is grounded in revealed truth. It keeps coming up again. Truth, truth, truth. Whom I love in the truth, others who have embraced the truth love you in the truth as well, and the Christian faith is a faith of truth. And furthermore, we learn that the Christian faith is a certain faith. It is assured. It is something that we can count on. It is based upon the promises of an immutable God. How wonderful. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.